the Missouri State Journal, a weekly program keeping you in touch with Missouri State University.
It's a true hallmark of parenting. We all want what's best for our kids. We're fierce protectors, consistent teachers, and faithful advocates. When a child has an emotional or behavioral disorder, educators must work with parents and students to develop goals, a beneficial plan, and structure. I'm Nikki Donaldson. Today as my guest on the Missouri State Journal, I have Dr. Risha Adamson, Associate Professor of Special Education at Missouri State University. She's here to talk about her work in developing positive learning environments and implementing inclusive instruction. In 2021, she and Dr. John McKenna from the University of Massachusetts Lowell wrote the book Inclusive Instruction for Students with Emotional and Behavioral Disorders, Pulling Back the Curtain. Adamson and McKenna have collaborated on research for years because of their philosophical alignment, she explains.
The philosophy is really that we need to be working with students to the best of our abilities. And for students with emotional and behavior disorders, that's lots of times a big challenge. And so we've done a lot of our research around how do you support these students within applied settings within the school, and how do you make them true, genuine supports where people can implement these things without a researcher or an outside person coming in, but somebody that can come in and just teach them best practices and then let them run with it. And so really what this book became was a culmination of years of work that we've done and our own K through 12 experiences of being in the classroom to try to come up with something really comprehensive that we could put out there across all academic domains, behavioral domains, mental health, trauma, and all these pieces together that could be in a nice compact form that could be a guide. And we'll also probably teach out of it, too, because that's always a good perk of when you write a book, that you can use it for your own classes as well.
When a student will be moving between a special education and general education classroom, there's a lot of necessary coordination, says Adamson, and it begins before the student ever enters the inclusive classroom. A general educator and special educator have to meet and work together regularly to set those goals, build supports, and determine accommodations needed to help students in an individualized manner. This book includes tips and strategies for educators, but Adamson says it all comes down to flexibility and assessing this question: what is best for this student in this time and in this place?
When you think about especially students with emotional and behavior disorders, one of their main goals is that social piece. You're never going to be able to recreate a social environment for a kid in a special education classroom that looks like the general education classroom. The other piece that you have to factor in is these kids normally have some sort of academic deficits. And lots of times those academic deficits are not because that they don't have that academic ability. It's that they've truly missed out on a layer of instruction or piece, sometimes because they've had exclusionary practices, like they've been suspended or they've been in timeout or been in the principal's office, as we commonly think. And so they have these holes in their learning knowledge. So when we think about their ability and what they potentially could perform and what level they could perform, they're much more similar to some of our general education students, not those students that have significant learning issues. Though when you look at the profile of these students across time, because of all the time that they're removed from the class room where they're missing instruction, their learning profiles look a lot more like a student that has mild learning disabilities than it does a student that has typical cognitive abilities like these students typically have. So when you're trying to decide between the two settings, obviously you can see that there's some advantages for both. Being able to fill in those holes of missed instruction in a special education classroom makes perfect sense. But typically, because they have cognitive abilities that are there around the average peer, they're able to catch on to those pieces much quicker than some of the other students in those special education settings. So having kind of this fluid arrangement where they can go back to general education but still be supported and have their needs met is something that we try to push all educators to think about and to help support these individuals.
When a behavioral crisis happens in the classroom, the top priority is to make sure your child knows that you are always available for questions, free from judgment, and that kindness prevails.
the majority of kids have seen these things before. The majority of these kids already know that a student coming into their classroom is different in some capacity, because lots of times these students have received some sort of services across time, or they've had some sort of support. And when I really think about how do we effectively think about them, it's really making sure that they have an outlet to ask questions when questions are needed to be asked, but also thinking about offering up kind of that empathy for somebody that may be different, and that is going to become a long-term life skill for that kid, that as adults, we'd all be better if we had a little piece of that.
That was Dr. Risha Adamson. I'm Nikki Donaldson for the Missouri State Journal.
For more information, contact the Office of Strategic Communication at 417-836-6397. The Missouri State Journal is available online at ksmu.org.